So therefore, they don't. It means there's a huge thing that's going. So anyone connected. So if Vaishnavas are using that, then everybody's benefited. Like that, by the Lord's arrangement. But of course, farther it goes, the less. But it's still something. It's a jñāta sukriti. So by this, enough jñāta sukriti piles up, then eventually then people get faith in the association of Vaishnavas, faith in the process of devotional service, then they're able to take it up. Like that. So the influence in the Sankirtan mission is actually much, much greater than many times we understand. Like that. Because generally it's what we're doing, or what we can see that's happening, that we will take it as the influence. But actually the influence is much, much greater. So then Digambara asks a question. What is the illusory potency of Lord Vishnu you mentioned? Advaita. In the Chandi Mahatmya of the Markandeya Purana, it is said, the entire world is bewildered by Lord Hari's Maya potency. These words describe Lord Vishnu's Maya potency. Digambara. Then who is the goddess I know as Mother Nishtarini? Advaita. She is Lord Vishnu's Maya potency. Digambara. Opening his book about the Tantras. Look, here it says, my mother is the form of spiritual consciousness. Her desires are at once fulfilled. She is beyond the touch of the three modes. But still she manifests the three modes. Your Maya potency of Lord Vishnu is not beyond the three modes. How can you say that your Maya potency of Lord Vishnu is the same as my mother? When I see how you Vaishnavas are such closed-minded fanatics, it does not make me happy at all. Advaita, Brother Digambara, please don't be angry. After so many days you have seen me again. I want to make you happy. If I say the Maya potency of Lord Vishnu, how have I become small-minded? Lord Vishnu is the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead. All that exists is His potency. The word potency does not mean a substance. Rather, it means the quality that a substance possesses. Therefore, the statement that a potency is the root of all existence goes counter to the truth. A potency cannot exist apart from its substance. Okay, so it means its quality of substance. So it means Krishna is the substance, and potencies are then qualities of that substance. Like Krishna has all wealth, all knowledge, all fame. These are qualities. So these are opulences. So these are potencies. This is the energy of the Lord. While substance means Krishna. A potency cannot exist apart from its substance. An original substance with a spiritual form must first be accepted. After all, the commentary on Vedanta Sutra declares, the potency and the possessor of the potency are not different. The meaning then is that the potency does not exist apart from its substance. The only true substance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of potencies. The nature of the potency is either to be a quality of the Supreme Lord or submissive to His will. When it is said that the potency has pure consciousness, that means that because the potency and the master of potencies are not indifferent, therefore, like the master of potencies, the potency also has a form of spiritual consciousness, has desires that are at once fulfilled, and is beyond the touch of the three modes. It is not a mistake to say these things. Will and consciousness are qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By itself, the potency does not possess will, but rather it carries out the will of the Supreme. For example, you have power, and by your will, your potencies act. If you say the power acted, then that means that the possessor of the power was actually behind the action. To say that the power acted is only to use a figure of speech. In truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has only one potency. When she performs spiritual actions, she is called spiritual potency, and when she performs material actions, she is called the material potency, or Maya. The Vedas, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8, explain, the potency of the Supreme is manifested in many different ways. The potency that manifests the three modes is the material potency. She creates and destroys the material universes. those are her duties. In the Puranas and Tantras, this potency is called by many names, such as Vishnu Maya, Mahamaya, and Maya. Allegorically, she is also called the mother of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the killer of Sumba and Nishumba, and other like names that describe her different activities. As long as he remains deeply enmeshed in material consciousness, the soul is under her power. When he attains pure spiritual knowledge, the soul can understand the nature of his original spiritual form. Then he is freed from the ropes of Maya. Then he is under the power of the spiritual potency. Then he becomes happy. Happy. Digambar, are you under the power of one of these potencies, or are you not? Advaita, yes, we are also a potency. We are Jiva Shakti, individual souls. When we become free from the ropes of the Maya potency, we are in the power of the spiritual potency. Digambar, then you are also a Shakta, a worshipper of the potency. Advaita, yes, the Vaishnavas are naturally Shaktas. We are the servants of Sri Radhika, who is the spiritual potency. Under her patronage, we worship and serve Lord Krishna. Who is more of a Shakta than we? I don't see any difference between the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas. They who do not take shelter of the spiritual potency, but only take shelter of the material potency, Maya, may be Shaktas, but they are not Vaishnavas. They are materialists. Yeah, so it means Vaishnavas are also Shaktas, means those who worship the Shakti, but those who worship the internal potency, then they're known as Vaishnavas. Those that worship the external potency are known as Shaktas. Like that, it's just the common usage of the term. Just like we see that Tantra, generally that means that it's Devi Tantra or Shaiva Tantra, is connected with the materialistic activities. But Tantra simply means ritual. You have mantra, you have Tantra. So the Tantra is the ritual, mantra is the verses that are used in the ritual. So therefore there are Sattvic Tantras. What we worship, Pancharatra, is a Sattvic Tantra. So that Tantra is for the exclusive worship of Vishnu. So when you have non-Vedic mantras used for worship, and the rituals are not directly Vedic, coming from the Brahmanas of the Vedas, then this is called Tantra. So but because it's Sattvic, generally then it's called Ekayana Pancharatra, because it's worshipping the Lord. Is focused on the Lord. And those that are worshipping Devi and Shiva, those are called Tantras. They're known. And so otherwise what we follow is called Pancharatra. But technically it's a Tantra, because Tantra, the general term, means ritual. So same way, Shakta means one who worships the energy. So we're worshipping Srimati Radharani, and through her then we are serving Krishna under her direction. So that way then, we're Shaktas. But we worship the Supreme Shakti. We don't worship the external potency. That is the difference. So those who are materialists and take shelter of external Maya, then we call them Shaktas, or worshippers of Devi. Like that. Yes.
What is the origin of Odesh scriptures, Shaktas scriptures?
There means they've all been compiled for everyone. You basically have five levels of consciousness, and according to these levels of consciousness, then these different scriptures have been written. Because some people are, so you have scriptures that are on the realm of Dharma, scriptures in the realm of Artha, scriptures in the realm of Kama or sense gratification, scriptures in the realm of Moksha or liberation. And then you have the transcendental scriptures that are based on rasa, or interaction with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these five levels of consciousness are addressed in the Vedic literatures. So the tantras, these like for the shaktas, these are for people who are on the level of anamoy, or into sense gratification. So their purpose is to enjoy the senses, their position, whatever it is, the social means like we see in the beginning of the chapter. They try to be, you know, some of them civilized, so they move very nicely in society, try to enjoy the facilities of the society like this than they do. But so that's on that level. Those who are more into pranamoy, then they'll worship Ganesh, or they'll worship the sun god. Those who are interested in liberation will worship Shiva, like that. Those who are worshipping Vishnu, maybe into Dharma, means on the material platform. They don't see the Lord's form as eternal. Those persons, they see Him situated in goodness. So then they worship Him for, you know, good karma kind of results and things like this. And so this way then you get all these four levels. But only the Vaishnavas who understand the Lord's form is eternal, they take up the worship of the deity. And their worship is then on the transcendental platform. Like that.
Are there any statement in the Vedas, like in these Puranas, always I was thinking about that, Puranas in mode of ignorance, are there any statement like Mother Durga or Shivaji, they are source of Lord Vishnu?
They'll say in different ways. The BC is basically what those do is they'll present something that they'll only tell enough of the pastime or enough of the philosophy to get that point done. So they don't speak against the truth, and there's no contradiction. They only tell part of the truth. You know, it's just like if you have a disagreement, there's two sides. So if you only tell one side, then it seems that it should go that way. So it's not an untruth, because that's the way that person thinks. And that was the situation that happened. If you tell the other side, then it looks like it's the other way. Then if you tell both sides, then you end up completely different. So like that, then the scriptures will just tell part. Because like in this world, Shiva is supreme. Because Durga runs this world. Maybe you could all move forward a little bit. Please. Durga runs this world. So therefore, in running this world, she's the boss. She's Trigunamayi. But Shiva is her lord. Right? She follows Shiva. She's surrendered to Shiva. Therefore, then, he's the supreme with inside the universe. But he's not the supreme. So when you call him the supreme, you haven't said supreme of what? You say whatever he wants gets done. You know, he is the authority. Everything comes from him. Everything's maintained. Everything's destroyed by him. Like that. So those who are Shaivites, then they'll go above the Shakti. Those who are Shaktas, then generally they respect or deal with Shiva, but their emphasis is on Shakti. And those who are Shaivites, they respect Shakti, but their emphasis is on Shiva. So therefore, then they'll say one or the other supreme. But he is in that way in the world, because everything is generated through ignorance. So that's Shiva's area. It's maintained by ignorance, and it's destroyed by ignorance. So that way you could say he is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this world. But that doesn't mean that he's the source of it. That's not saying. You don't hear that. He's the source, you know, he created the element. You don't hear that. They just hear whatever they want gets done, their supreme consciousness. Right, supreme consciousness, but supreme doesn't mean spiritual. It means supreme in this world. It means her consciousness is the consciousness of this world. Materialists, their consciousness is going to be within the realm of what is within her consciousness. She's aware of everything. She enters everything. She empowers everything. Right? But the power that she's getting is Krishna's power. She is Krishna's power. She's Vishnu's Maya. So Krishna's power of attractiveness, then she has that. And then she enters these things. And so then different things are attractive in this world. Right? It's dead matter. Why dead matter will be attractive unless it's empowered by Krishna's attractive potency? Right? So she carries that, but it's in ignorance. Therefore, then, in this world, that's supreme. But where the origin of that, her origin, all these things, that they don't talk about. Because they just use these key words. It means the Lord knows what words will ring a bell for the living entity. Control, supreme, enjoyment, you know, all these things. Above the modes just means because she's in control of the modes. But it doesn't mean she's in the spiritual realm. doesn't mean she's the manifesting the spiritual potencies. It's the same energy, but this is the material side of it, when she does the material work. That's one thing. The other thing is that because it's the Lord's potency, there's one energy. And then she's doing this, so when she's doing material, then it's that. But she is superior to the mode. She's just doing this material work. Like that. So there's these fine subtleties. So it's play on words is what it is. And so when you say that, then everybody's happy. You know, just like I say, yeah, you come, you do this, you'll be happy. But it's a play on words. No one has seen lasting happiness in the material world. Right? Therefore, to say by doing this you'll be happy is a play on words. If we say, yes, come do this, and then for a very short time, temporarily, you may be happy. Right? Then you're not inspired. Right? It's the wrong words. But that's the truth. You know? So that's the thing, is truth can't be spoken in this world. Real truth is a connection to Krishna. Real truth then is what is inspiring. Because then you have to define what is truth. You know? Truth means actual what's in connection to Krishna. So therefore the Vaishnavas know truth. So they understand the potencies and the energies. They know. And these other Shaktas, they don't know because they're not connecting it to the Lord. So that's the...
But there is no stories which display pastimes Lord Shiva or Durga Devi. Okay, in relationship with Vishnu becomes superior, or like we have in Bhagavad Gita.
Means there be things like Ramachandra when he performs his pastimes, so he's going to Lanka. So before going to Lanka, he worships Shiva because it's his devotee. He's a king, so kings worship the demigods. So therefore he worships Shiva just to say, I'm going over, I'm going to kill your devotee, that's all. So then for us, it's just a part of the Lord's pastime. For the Shaktas, then they say, see, even Vishnu has to worship Shiva to get the potency to do his work. So all it is that the pastime is told, but only certain aspects are told. Therefore, the Shaivites will then understand he's supreme. You know, like that. You know, and then the Shaktas then will bring in stories where Devi does so many, you know, big things. She kills Moishasura and the other demigods can't do, so therefore she's supreme. She's only supreme because everybody else put their potency into her. Like that. You know, just because she is then controlled by Shiva, they trusted her. You know, so these different things, but they only tell part of the truth, so therefore it sounds okay. That's the whole, that's the meaning of the flowery words of the Vedas. Is they tell part of the truth. Like you go to the heavenly planets, you'll be deathless. That doesn't mean they don't die, it just means they won't die in the heavenly planets. They die outside the heavenly planets. So as long as you're there, you'll stay there. When you're not supposed to, you'll fall from the heavenly planets. You'll die there. You won't die in the heavenly planets. Therefore, the heavenly planets are deathless. No one dies there. Before dying, they're kicked out. Like that. So these ways, the full truth is not told. So that'll be told in another place. That'll be told in the Jnanakanda section of the Vedas. How the heavenly enjoyments are useless. Like that. Those will be told there because the idea is to give up karma. But karma is better than sin. Therefore you just tell half the truth. Because the person who will sin is not interested in the truth. They just want to enjoy. And they'll do anything to enjoy. So if you can point out to them, if you behave properly, you're pious, you'll get more enjoyment, then they'll control themselves to get a higher thing. People who are more intelligent. Less intelligent will sin anyway. But they're still not that intelligent. Because if they're real intelligent, then they would go to the next platform. They go to the platform of moksha. But then moksha also is temporary, because it's not the platform of the soul. They talk Brahman, but it's not actually the full qualities of Brahman. Because Brahman is Satchidananda, right? The Supreme Brahman. But the Brahman of liberation is only Sat. So that means two qualities are missing. And the soul having three qualities can't be satisfied there. So someone who's more intelligent understands that supreme liberation means surrender to Vishnu. and being situated in devotional service, in love for the Supreme Lord. That's real liberation. So then that takes one all the way through. So it's just a matter of how much is told. Does that make sense? You know, like little kids, you don't tell them everything. It's not a lie, but it's not the full truth. You know, because you can't tell all the way through. In the Narada Pancharatra, Goddess Durga explains, O Krishna, I am Radha, who stays on your chest during the rasa dance in the Vrindavan forest. Thus, from Durga Devi's words, we can understand that the Lord does not have two potencies. There is only one potency, who manifests herself as the spiritual potency, Radhika, and the material potency, Vishnumaya. When the potency is free from the material mode, she is called the spiritual potency. And when she is within the sphere of the material mode, she is called the material potency. Digambar, you say that yourself are a potency, the Jiva Shakti. What potency is that? Advaita. See, that means in the Shaktas, they don't even understand position as Jiva. In Advaita, in Bhagavad Gita 7.4.5, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight compromise my separated material energies. Besides this inferior energy, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind, which are all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Digambar, do you know the glory of Bhagavad Gita? It is the best of all scriptures. It solves all the problems of life. It explains that the individual souls are superior to dull matter, and that they are one of the potencies of the Lord. The wise call the individual souls tatastha shakti, marginal potency. The marginal potency is superior to dull matter and inferior to the Lord's chit shakti, internal potency. Therefore, the individual spirit souls are one of the potencies of the Lord. Digambar, Kalidas, have you seen this Bhagavad Gita? Advaita, yes, I have read that book. Digambar, what does it teach? Advaita, Brother Digambar, men praise molasses only as long as they have not tasted sugar candy. Digambar, my brother, you are a fanatic. Devi Bhagavat and Devi Gita are honored by everyone. You Vaishnavas alone have not heard of them. My brother, have you read Devi Gita? Digambar, no, why should I lie? I tried to make a manuscript copy of them, but I was not able. Advaita, how can I say that a particular book, which I have not read, is good or bad? Am I the fanatic, or are you? Because he hasn't read the book, and then he's saying you're a fanatic for not saying that it's great, but he hasn't read it himself. Right? Digambar, my brother, I am always afraid of you. You were always very talkative. As a Vaishnav, My brother, I am always afraid of you. You are always very talkative. As a Vaishnav, you are even more talkative. Whatever I say, you refute. Advaita, I am a fool, but I can see that there is no pure religion but the Vaishnava religion. For a long time, you held a grudge against the Vaishnavas. That is why you could not see the path that leads to your own auspiciousness. Digambar, a little angry. Is it? I do so much worship and devotion, and you say I cannot see the path to my own good. Have I been walking the wrong path all along? Look, here is the Tantra Sangraha, how I labored on it. Now that you are a Vaishnava, you like to blaspheme modern science and modern civilization. What can I do to convince you? Go to civilized people, see whether they praise you or me. Advaita thinks to himself, how good it will be when this very bad company runs away. Aloud, very well, brother. When you die, you will see how much benefit modern science and modern civilization has given you. Digambar, Kalidas, you are being foolish. Is there anything after death? As long as you stay in this world, try to become famous among civilized men, and try to enjoy the five material pleasures. Enjoy. At the time of death, Mother Nishtarini will take you to a good place. She will protect you. Death will come at its own time. Why should you suffer before then? When you die and the ingredients of your body mingle with the other ingredients of the world, where will you be? This world is an illusion. It is Maya. Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. It is she who gives you pleasure here, and it is she who will give you liberation after death. It's interesting how in the same point they can say, enjoy it all, why you should not become. At the same time they say it's all illusion and it'll all be merged back in, and so it's very inconsistent. So this is ignorance. Religion is irreligion, irreligion is religion, so it's all... So for the ignorant mind, it all makes good sense. You talk this, then you talk that, and so it's all very intense, very, you know, like this kind of taste. It is she who gives you pleasure here, and is she who will give you liberation after death. Nothing exists but the potency. From the potency you have come, into the potency you will enter at the end. So if you've entered the potency, then how you will have a good place and enjoy, and or how you'll be her husband. Right? Serve the potency. Just see the power in the knowledge she gives. Try to increase your own spiritual power. At the end, you will see that there is nothing but the spiritual potency. What ganja did you smoke to dream up the fantastic story that an all-knowing personal God exists? By believing that story, you attained only suffering. In the next life, what benefit will you earn that I will not also get? I do not know. What is the use of believing in a personal God? Serve the potency. You will merge into the potency. In her, you will rest forever. Okay, now you'll rest there before you become the husband. It's like, so it's not consistent. Advaita. My brother, you are very attached to the material potency. If an all-knowing personal God exists, what will be your fate after death? What is happiness? Happiness is peace of mind. Renouncing material pleasures, I have found peace and happiness inside my heart. If something good exists after death, I will attain it. You are not peaceful and not happy. You are not peaceful and happy. The more you enjoy, the more your thirst for ever more pleasure increases. You have never known real happiness. Again and again you call out, pleasure, pleasure. One day you will become plunged in an ocean of sufferings. Digambar, whatever will be. Why do you shun the company of good people? Advaita, I do not shun the company of good people. I already have their company. I only shun the wicked. Digambar, who are these wicked? Advaita, please don't become angry when you hear I say this. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-33. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world due to our material contamination and wander from one type of body to another and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction life after life, in different bodily forms and on different planets. Again, in the seventh canto, it is said, one should never associate with materialists and non-devotees. By their association, all is lost. By their association, one falls into the lower worlds. In the Katyayana Samhita, it is said, even if one is forced to live within a cage of iron or in the midst of a blazing fire, he should accept this position rather than live with non-devotees, who are through and through against the supremacy of the Lord. In the third canto, it is said, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:31-33-34, by associating with unrighteous people, a person becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, fortune, and all such opportunities. One should not associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of knowledge and self-realization, and who is no more than a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. In the Garuda Purana, it is said, even though one may have gone to the other side of all the Vedas, and even though one is well versed in all the revealed scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he must be considered the lowest of mankind. See, lowest. See, you have mankind. You have the mudha. So the mudha is low, because he is absorbed in the material energy. He is. His thoughts are there. His goals are there. His purpose is there. But they're simple people who don't know anything different. But those who have the opportunity to know the Supreme Lord, reject the Supreme Lord like that, they're the lowest of mankind. Therefore, the mudha is not considered the lowest. The lowest is the one who has that contact with the proper knowledge and rejects it. That is considered the lowest. Here, that's why it says someone's gone to the other side of all the Vedas. That means, in the Vedic language, that he has studied all the Vedas, he has understood them, he understands their conclusions. It means in the way of technical aspects. He knows the language, the grammar, all these different things. He can understand the science. But he hasn't come to the conclusion that the Supreme Lord is the Lord. Then that person is the lowest of the low.
That's Naradama.
Yeah, that's Naradama. That's why it's said he's the lowest. Means otherwise the mudha means all of these are bad, right? Means you have the asura who is trying to control everything, you know, by great power and influence. So that's the asura. The Mayaya Pratijnana has great knowledge, but they're atheists. Right? Means they don't know about the Lord. They just know about the material energy. But they're very expert intellectually in the material energy. So that's Mayaya Pratijnana. It means Maya has stolen their intelligence. It means their intelligence is fully absorbed in Maya. The mudha means it's just they're absorbed in Maya and they work hard and they're expecting some nice fruit of result. You know, some immediate sense gratification. The Naradama means one who's come in contact with the scriptures, the knowledge, has come across the understanding of the Supreme Lord, or even like this, but rejects. They're considered the lowest. So the Naradama may be very sophisticated and all, like this he's talking here, civilized persons, sophisticated, you know, well-dressed, well-spoken, you know, refined in their eating and all these different things, but they've rejected the Supreme Lord. So they're the lowest. In Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.18 it is said, "My dear king, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified, even if washed in the waters of many rivers, non-devotees cannot be purified by a process of atonement, even if they perform them very well." See, atonement can remove the reaction to sin. You performed a sinful activity. Atonement will take away that reaction. Let's say you've done a sin, and from that you should get a particular reaction. By atonement, it will correct that. It means the reaction will go away. Like that. Because the reaction is simply you've done something wrong, so then you'll get a reaction. If you do the atonement, it does the same thing. So you've gone through some austerity, you know, either but voluntarily, while the other one you've gone through involuntarily, like that. But it doesn't get rid of the desire. This is the difficulty, is that when you perform an activity, then what comes along with it is the desire to do that activity again. That always comes. When you perform something, you do an activity, then the desire to do that again. So any material activity will create that, and spiritual activities will create that. You perform something, devotional activity, the desire to do it again will also be planted. So then, but atonement will not get rid of that desire, will not get rid of that seed. Right? You perform an activity, and from that activity is created a seed for doing it again. And then the seed that you've acted upon will then sprout into a plant. That's kutaj. It will grow into a full-grown creeper. That's the phulan mukhi. And it will create a fruit. That's the reaction, prarabdha. And that seed will then be there also. Then, when the right situation comes, then again you take shelter of that seed sprouts and starts again another reaction. Like this. So what happens is the atonement will get rid of the prarabdha, may even get rid of the other. It means it will get rid of that growing of the plant. But it won't get rid of the seed that has been created along with it. Does that make sense? It means when you do the activity, then it itself will, that seed will then sprout and give you the reaction, but at the same time it's created another seed that's ready to start again, make another plant. Like that. So it can get rid of the one, but only bhakti can get rid of the seeds. That's why bhakti is special. Therefore it's given the example of either by soaking them in water too long, then you can't, or by frying them. If you roast the seeds, they won't grow, or if you soak them in water, you know, they won't grow. It means if you soak them in water, leave them in water, they won't grow. You soak them in water, take them out, then they grow. If you leave them in water. So by the process of hearing and chanting means the nectar of devotional service is like soaking it in water. They won't grow because you're so absorbed in the transcendental activities. Or by roasting them, by the austerities of devotional service. That also then will get rid of them. Like this. So, therefore the seed. So this the process of atonement, even if they perform it very well, then they can't be purified because the material desire to enjoy still remains in their heart. That's the thing. It's not the external. The problem is not the external. Many times even devotees will may not be well judged or well informed in this. So somebody does something wrong. So then they try to correct what they've done wrong rather than the consciousness by which they did it wrong. You see, Prabhupada would work on the consciousness. He would call the person, give them association, you know, like this. And they continue doing whatever service they were doing. Because the service is how they're going to be purified. And by the association, then they understand what they've done is not proper in the devotional light. So therefore, then they should give that up and move on. But otherwise, if you only deal with the external, then it's like mundane prayaschitta. You may get rid of the result, but the desire hasn't been dealt with. That will only be gotten rid of by association, sadhusanga. So without sadhusanga, then there is no prayaschitta, really. So the real prayaschitta is accepting that we're servants of the Lord, giving up this mundane consciousness that we are the enjoyer and controller. That will actually give result. In the Skanda Purana, it is said, a person who attacks, criticizes or hates the Vaishnavas, or who becomes angry with them, does not respectfully greet them, or is not pleased to see them, finds himself in the six hells. So these six means physically dealing with them, verbally attacking them, mentally attacking them, in other words, physically, verbally and mentally, body, mind and words, is against the Vaishnava. Or you become angry with them, does not respectfully deal with them, or is not pleased to see them. So that also then becomes more and more subtle. Is you're angry with them, so that's a disturbance. You don't respectfully greet them, that's kind of, you just don't deal properly. Or you don't like to see them, try to stay out of their way. He finds himself in the six hells. This is also quoted by, I think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his, in the process of devotion. I think in Madhurya Kadambini this is quoted in the whole process from Shraddha to Prema, that this is the problem. Digambar, association with wicked people will never bring one any good. What will one gain by associating with them? Digambar, what a fine fellow I have come to talk with. He thinks we are all wicked people. You stay with your pure Vaishnavas. I am going home. Advaita thinking to himself, it is almost done. Now I had best speak very sweetly to him, aloud. Ah, now you must go home. You are my boyhood friend. I do not wish to see you go. If you are kind, then please stay. Stay for some time, take prasadam, and then go. Digambar, Kalidas, you know very well that I eat only Harisha, and I already had some Harisha before I came here. I'm glad to see you. I will come again if I find the time. I can't stay the night because I must follow the spiritual practices my guru gave me. For today, brother, I must go. Advaita, let us go then. I will walk with you to the boat. No, you do your own business. I have some friends with me. After speaking these words, Digambar burst into a song, glorifying Goddess Durga, and left. Advaita Das returned to his cottage and, without encountering any more interruptions, chanted the holy names of Lord Hari. Haribo. So we see here is, even though he was very much not wanting to spend time with this materialist, but, you know, because of the relationship and everything, or in any case, just out of respect, then he dealt with him, tried to teach him. But it was done in a pleasant way. It wasn't done in a nasty way. It wasn't like directly criticizing. And then when he was upset, said he was going to leave, he didn't say, yeah, great, you know, good to see you gone. And then it's like, no, my old friend, you should stay. But he asked, made points, he knows he's not going to. Oh, you take Prashad, stay the night. He knows he's not going to stay. But, you know, it's proper etiquette. You know, it's proper etiquette. Because then the person doesn't feel bad. Because people shouldn't feel bad towards the Vaishnavas. So chapter 10. Eternal religion and history. Nitya dharma o itihasa. So he's going through all the different, basically, topics and issues of, you know, social, religious and philosophical points here. So itihas, like Rama, let's see what he puts here as itihas. A doubt arose in the mind of Sri Harihara Bhattacharya, a teacher who lived in Agra Dweep. He discussed it with some people, but his doubt would not go away. It troubled his mind more and more. One day, when he was in the village of Arkatila, he asked Chaturbhuj Nyayaratna, O saintly Bhattacharya, please tell me, how old is the Vaishnava religion? Harihara Bhattacharya is an initiated Vaishnava, and he worships Lord Krishna in his home. Nyayaratna Mahashai has pursued 20 years of laborious study, so it must be in Nyaya, because Nyaya is logic. It's also a branch of the Vedic, you know, how you say, it's the perverted Vedic thinking, the six schools of philosophy. So it's the simplest of all. Nyaya is just, I think, everything comes from, it's just logic is the supreme. He was not interested in any religion. He did not like talking about religion. Only when Goddess Durga was worshipped would he show a slight religious sentiment. Harihara's question made him think. This Harihara must be a supporter of Vaishnavism. He could get me in some trouble. It is best to keep trouble away. Thinking in this way, Nyayaratna Mahashai said, what kind of question is this today? You have read many books. You have even read the Muktipad. Muktipad is, I'm not sure here, but I think it's, it's Mugdabod. I can't say. Look in the whole of Nyaya Shastra. There's no mention of the Vaishnava religion. Why do you annoy me with this question? Harihara said, Oh, Bhattacharya Mahashai, I come from a Vaishnava family and am an initiated Vaishnava. I never had any doubts about the Vaishnava religion. You know Tarka Chudamani of Vikrampura. Wishing to uproot the Vaishnava religion, he preaches against it in many places in this country, and others also. In this way he has earned a lot of money. In a gathering of mostly Durga worshippers, he said the Vaishnava religion is modern in its origin and has no substance or reality. He said only low-class people call themselves Vaishnavas, and upper-class people have no respect for the Vaishnava religion. When I heard this pundit's conclusion, at first I was pained at heart, but then, as I thought it over, I could see that before Prabhu Chaitanya Dev, there was no Vaishnavism in Bengal. At that time, almost everyone performed worship by chanting Durga mantras. Some few of us worship by chanting Vaishnava mantras, but all of those Vaishnavas wanted in the end to attain impersonal liberation and become Brahman. All those Vaishnavas were Panchopashakas. Panchopashakas means, as we mentioned before, they worship in the Veda you have the Upasana Kanda. And one of the aspects in there is Panchopashaka. So that means worship of Durga, worship of Ganesh, the sun god, Shiva and the Vishnu in the mode of goodness. You know, it's not an eternal form of Vishnu, it's an imagined form in the mode of goodness, a manifestation of goodness. The Brahman has come in the form of goodness. So it's a made up, it's a mental thing for those who are within the grips of the material energy. So as mentioned before, that those Vaishnavas, those who worship that Vishnu, aren't really Vaishnavas, because they don't accept the eternal form. Therefore, the point is always made that they accept the eternal form of Vishnu. Because these other persons, then don't. It's also like something out of Africa. These are water birds. These ones are kind of crane, very small. Like that. Some of us worship by chanting Vaishnava mantras, but all of those Vaishnavas wanted in the end to attain impersonal liberation and become Brahman. So therefore, even though they worship Vishnu, they wanted impersonal liberation. But they used the Karmakanda section to get to it. All those Vaishnavas were Panchopasakas. However, after Prabhu Chaitanya Dev, Vaishnavism assumed a new form. Now Vaishnavas cannot bear to hear the word mukti or Brahman. What is their understanding of devotional service? I do not have the power to say. There is a saying, the followers of a one-eyed guru will be led astray. I see these Vaishnavas are like that. My question is, did this kind of Vaishnavism exist before, or was it only invented after the time of Chaitanya Dev? Nyayaratna Mahashaya could see that Harihara's mentality was unusual. In other words, Harihara was not an orthodox Vaishnava. When this thought entered his mind, his face blossomed and blossomed with happiness. He said, Harihara, you are a great scholar of Nyaya Shastra. I agree with your idea. Nowadays a new kind of Vaishnavism has come. I am afraid to say anything against it. It is the Kali Yuga. We should be a little careful. Many rich and respectable gentlemen have accepted Chaitanya's philosophy. They have no faith in us. They think we are the enemies. I think that in a few days our business will collapse. The Tellies, Tamlis, and Suvarnabhanaks have all taken to talking about the scriptures. Suvarnabhanaks, they're the gold merchants and that. Or, you know, business persons who are engaged in that. Tellies and Tamlis, I'm not sure. They have brought great trouble to us. Look, for a long time the Brahmanas had so arranged things that no other caste could read the scriptures. Even the Kayasthas, who were next below the Brahmanas, could not chant the sacred syllable Om. It seems the Kayasthas were some Brahmins who... There's some mixed, either they gave up their position of performing brahminical activities and took up the work of business or working for business people or government people, like that. All followed what we said, but nowadays all those these Vaishnavas are discussing the spiritual truth. They have completely defeated us. In other words, the Brahmanas, they were doing everything. But now the Vaishnavas, they're discussing everything. They're just disregarding all the Brahmins. Because Bhattacharya, that means you have of this, the Bhatta is considered a very high position, like Gopal Bhatta, Raghunath Bhatta. But Bhattacharya then is even higher than that. Amongst the Bhattas, then they are the Acharyas. So that's considered like the top of the Brahmins. I think in the Bengali Brahmins, the Bhattacharya is the highest. You have the Chattopadhyayas, the Mukhopadhyayas, and the Bandopadhyayas, and then you have the Bhattacharyas, like this. Because the others are Upadhyayas. Upadhyaya means they know one area, while the Acharya means they teach the Veda and all that. They have completely defeated us, the Vaishnavas. Since the time of Nimai Pandit, the Brahmana religion has practically disappeared. O Harihara, Tarka Chudamani spoke the truth. Considering what they have seen or heard, others may say what they like about him. I say he has spoken well. When I hear the words of these Vaishnava fools, my whole body burns with anger. Oh, he has spoken well means Tarka Chudamani. They even say that Shankara's books are false and his words are all Maya. They say that Lord Vishnu ordered him to speak a pack of lies. And then on top of that, they say the Vaishnava religion had no beginning. The Vaishnava religion is barely 100 years old, and now it has no beginning, as the saying goes. The fools find an innocent man, make him into a scapegoat, and attack him again and again. So at this time, this would have been taking place 400 years ago, just after Lord Chaitanya, his pastimes, like that. Then it seems that Pradyumna Brahmacharya is still present at the time of this pastime. Let them say what they like. Navadvipa was as good in the past as it is bad in the present. Nowadays, a few Vaishnavas who live at Bodhagachi in Navadvipa see the ideas of the entire world as foolish. Some two or three scholars among them have turned the whole countryside upside down. The ideas that castes are rigidly fixed, that the whole world is an illusion, and that one should worship Goddess Durga have all been crushed by them. Look, nowadays there are not even many Shraddha ceremonies. What will happen to the professional brahmanas? What that means the, how do you say? Yeah, castes are rigidly fixed. So they were taken by birth. So this is the Asuric form of Varnashram. The Daiva means that according to their qualities, then they are, how do you say? One is placed in the Varnashram system. And the whole world is an illusion means the world is real. But our idea that it's something to enjoy and we can be happy here and that it's eternal, that's an illusion. So material nature exists. Our ideas of how we're going to be happy in it, that doesn't exist. And that one should worship Goddess Durga, then we, as discussed in the last chapter, one goes beyond to the spiritual form, the transcendental form of the Lord's potency. And then that is worship, because that then by bhakti you can please the Lord. By worshipping the external form, that is for our own pleasure. But we're trying to become God. And then the Shraddha ceremonies were regularly done for keeping the forefathers and the heavenly planets. But for the Vaishnava religion, then if you're worshipping Krishna, then naturally all the demigods, everybody is satisfied. So there's no need of the Shraddha ceremonies. Means when a Vaishnava passes on, then they'll do one ceremony, but there's no need for the regular pindas and all that is done by the those who are fixed in the Varnashram without worshipping the Supreme Lord. Then Harihara said, O Bhattacharya Mahashaya, is there no remedy? In Mayapur there are still five or six big Brahmana scholars. Then, on the other side of the Ganges, there are many scholars of Smriti and Nyaya. Why do they not join forces and attack Gadigacha? Nyayaratna said, yes, they band together, the Brahmana scholars can do it. Of course, the Brahmana scholars tend to fight amongst themselves. They like to fight and they pretend that fighting amongst themselves is part of the job of being a scholar. Yes. I heard that some followers of Krishna Chudamani went to Gadigacha for a debate and came back defeated. Now they won't even come out of their classrooms. Some have said that. That was before, in the previous discussion, they came to debate on the position that how can the Yavanas take up devotional service. Because devotional service, then being based on piety, then you had to be pious to do it. But they pointed out it's not material piety, it's spiritual piety. So by agyata, bhakti agyata sukriti, then one takes up devotional service. And that is not nourished by the material bhakti, material piety. So it's separate. So then they were defeated. So this is what he's talking about. And these scholars, because each one thinks because the whole idea, if one's not a devotee, then whatever you're doing is the most important. whatever you are into is the most, is one's ideas is the best, one is the controller, one is the enjoyer, so therefore another scholar cannot be better. Harihara said, O Bhattacharya Mahashaya, you are our teacher. You are the teacher of many great scholars. By studying your commentaries on Nyaya Shastra, many have learnt the art of tricking others by juggling words. Please go and defeat the Vaishnava scholars at once and for all. These Nyaya means is that you know a system of defeating the other based on argument. It's not that what you're saying is right. It's just that if they say this, then you know that you use this technique to defeat it. Like that. So that's their... So defeating the other party, that is what is important. It's not so much whether conclusion is established, but it's just defeating the others. Well, the Vaishnavas, they want to establish the truth. So if you can use these techniques to establish the truth, then it's used. And if not, then it's not important. Please go and defeat the Vaishnava scholars once and for all. The Vaishnava religion is a modern concoction. It is not the teaching of the Vedas. Please go and prove these truths. Then our Panchopashana worship, which is the teaching of all the previous authorities, will be saved. In Chaturbhuj Nyayaratna's mind, there was one fear. He was afraid that he would meet the same fate as Krishna Chudamani and others who had already been defeated by the Vaishnavas. He said, Hariharai, I will go there in disguise. You go there also. Pose as a scholar and kindle the fire of debate in Gadigacha. Harihara said, I must obey your order. Calling myself Mahadeva, on Monday I will cross the Ganges. Monday came. Accompanied by Sri Chaturbhuj Nayaratna of Arkatila, the three scholars of Hariharai, Kamalakanta, and Sadashiva crossed the Ganges. After a little more than 10 hours of traveling along the Ganges, this must be quite a ways away, Arkatila, they finally arrived at Sri Prajumna Kunja, again and again calling out, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, like a small contingent of Durvasa Munis. They entered the grove of Madhavi vines. Advaita Das came out, greeted them, gave them sitting places, and asked, what order would you like to give me? Harihara said, we have come to discuss some things with the Vaishnavas. Advaita Das replied, the Vaishnavas of this place do not engage in debates. But if you sincerely have some questions, then that is all right. The other day some scholars came, asked some questions, stirred up a great debate, and were left unhappy at the end. I will ask the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji, and then I will give you his answer. After speaking these words, he entered the cottage of the Paramahamsa Babaji. After a moment, Advaita Das returned among them, and began to arrange sitting places for everyone. Entering the beautiful grove, the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji offered Dandabad obeisances, first to the Tulsi plant, and then to the Brahmana guests. He asked them, O saintly ones, what order would you like to give me? Then the Nyayaratna said, I have two questions to ask. Please answer them. Hearing this, the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji called for saintly Sri Vaishnav Das Babaji. When the Vaishnavas were all seated comfortably, Nyayaratna Mahashaya asked, first consider, then speak. Is the Vaishnava religion ancient or modern? Following the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji's wish, Vaishnav Das spoke. He said, the Vaishnava religion is eternal. It always existed. Nyayaratna. As I see it, there are two kinds of Vaishnava religion. In one kind of Vaishnava religion, it is accepted that the Supreme is the formless Brahman. However, no one can actually worship something that is formless. Therefore, one may imagine that the Supreme has a form, and by worshipping that imagined form, one gradually becomes pure in heart. When one becomes thus pure in heart, knowledge of the formless Brahman naturally arises within him. Thus, by worshipping the imaginary forms of Radha Krishna, Ram, or Nrisimha, one eventually attains knowledge of Brahman. They who accept this philosophy, worship the deity of Vishnu, and chant Vishnu mantras, consider themselves Vaishnavas, and count themselves among the Panchopashakas. Yes, by karma, then one gets jnana. So if that karma is performed in a mood of renunciation, then knowledge arises. So that knowledge basically means knowledge in the temporary nature of the material world, the position of the soul, and in Brahman. So this is what. So this is how the process works. But it will never give you Krishna. That is the problem with it. It can't give you anything more than liberation. Like that. But that's if it is nishkam. If it is not, then it won't even give this. And so we generally see who's going to be, who can actually be. So theoretically it works. But one can only really be nishkam if he has tasted a higher taste. Then you can give up the lower taste. Otherwise, that's why the impersonal path is not efficient. Because you're trying to give up a taste without gaining another taste. Therefore, though in theory it should work, but in practice it doesn't. Another kind of Vaishnava religion affirms that Lord Vishnu, Lord Rama, or Lord Krishna have real forms that are eternal. Then by worshipping these forms and chanting their mantras, the devotee attains eternal knowledge of them and their mercy also. This Shankara is in error, and his idea that the Supreme is formless is a pack of lies. Of these two kinds of Vaishnava religion, which is eternal? Which of them always existed? Vaishnava Das. The second one you mention is the real Vaishnava. It is eternal. The first one is Vaishnava religion in name only. It is the enemy of the true Vaishnava religion. It is not eternal. It is only a collection of lies. Yeah. Therefore, also in the previous chapters, then it was mentioned that those who are on the path, that is some aspect of the path, but it's a lower aspect, it's respected. But it's seen in position in the whole, you know, process, you know, like we see in Gita, then the yoga ladder. So there's a yoga ladder, then the other stages are then seen in its proper place. But those which are seeming like the Vaishnava religion, but they're not, those are then avoided. Those are, so this is one of them, the Panchopasana. It is Nyayaratna. I can understand that in your opinion, the only true Vaishnava religion is the philosophy of Chaitanya Deva. Thus the Vaishnava religion does not mean only the Vaishnava religion does not mean only the worship of Radha Krishna, Rama and Narsingha. It means worshipping Radha and Krishna and other deities according to the principles taught by Chaitanya. Very good. However, how can you say that this kind of Vaishnava religion is eternal? Vaishnava Das. The four Vedas teach this kind of Vaishnava religion. All the Smriti Shastras teach this kind of Vaishnava religion. All the Vedic histories, itihasas, sing the glories of this kind of Vaishnava religion. Nyayaratna Das. Chaitanya Dev was born not even 150 years ago. From what I can see, he is the first teacher of this kind of religion. If this is so, how can this kind of religion be eternal? Vaishnava Das. As long as any soul has ever existed, this kind of Vaishnava philosophy existed also. The time when the individual souls first came into existence cannot be calculated according to material time. Actually, there was never a time when the individual souls first came into existence. As the individual souls are thus beginningless, so the Vaishnava religion is also beginningless. Brahma was the first individual soul to take birth in this universe. As soon as Brahma was manifested, the words of the Vedas, which are the root of the Vaishnava religion, were also manifested. This is recorded in the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33.36. This is also described in the words of Mukunda Upanishad 1.1.1. Brahma, who is the first demigod, the creator of the universe, and the protector of the worlds, spoke knowledge of the Supreme, the first of all kinds of knowledge, to his eldest son, Atharva. This knowledge of the Supreme is also taught in these words of the Rig Veda 1.22.20. The lotus feet of Lord Vishnu are the supreme objective of all the demigods. These lotus feet of the Lord are as enlightening as the sun in the sky. In the Svetasvatara Upanishad 5.4, it is said, the glorious Supreme Personality of Godhead alone rules all creatures. In the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.2, it is said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is real, eternal, limitless, and all-knowing. One who understands the Supreme Lord residing in his heart goes to the spiritual world. There he associates with the all-knowing Supreme Lord. There all his desires are fulfilled. Nyayaratna, you say that the Rig Veda verse Tad Vishno Paramam Param describes your kind of Vaishnava religion and not the Vaishnava religion that follows the Mayavad theory of impersonalism. How can you claim that? Vaishnav Das, the Vaishnava religion that is a part of impersonalism refuses to affirm that service to Lord Vishnu is eternal. That religion claims that by attaining spiritual knowledge, a person himself becomes the Supreme. However, in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, it is said, the Supreme Lord is not attained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, or even by much hearing. He is attained only by one who he himself chooses. To such a person, he manifests his own form. Service to the Lord and surrender to the Lord are the only true religion. By following that religion, one attains the Lord's mercy, and only then is one able to see the Lord's eternal form. By cultivating impersonal speculation, one will not attain that form of the Lord. By understanding these clear and unequivocal words of the Vedas, one can see that the pure Vaishnava religion has its root in the Vedas. The Vaishnava religion that Sriman Mahaprabhu taught is the same religion that is taught in the Vedas. Of this there is no doubt. One thing is there is that there's many other programs going on now here and there. So now is 6:15. Should we end here because this is the standard time? Yes. So then we'll continue on Monday because I noticed that many would go at this time because they have other programs to attend. So then we'll stop here and we'll continue with the discussions of Vaishnav Vyas, Das and Nyaya Ratna on the origin of the Vaishnava religion. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.